Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Between the Lines Empowering Network. This is your girl, Corinne Lafond. We're here having a wonderful time again. You know, the shows are aired every Monday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's my time in the Caribbean, and I'm broadcasting to you from Jamaica in the Caribbean. Yes, I know you know of it, Jamaica in the Caribbean. And just to mention that President Obama was here just yesterday and the day before doing some, you know, visiting, talking to political heads, etc. So that was an exciting time here yesterday and the day before. But enough of that. I mean, he got enough press coverage. He doesn't need me to do any more press coverage for him on the show, but just wanted to mention that. But today we have somebody just as well as Obama. Why not? His name is Dan Fano, although he spells his name F-A-R-N-O-W, but it's pronounced Fano, which is good. And not far now, okay? Although he's far from me, but he's not far now, okay? He's far now. All right, he's the author of the he's the author of The Quest for Marriage, and he calls it an offbeat, unorthodox, humorous, and no-holds-barred guide for guys, so guys, listen up, of going about a Christian relationship and getting married. Now, this is not just having a wonderful time with the opposite sex, but it's getting married people. It's the end goal, okay? And he's into church, very much into church. He's a Bible study teacher and a leader at his church. So what I like about it is that he brings a Christian angle to it. So it's not just about, oh, I fell in love with you from the time I saw you, you know, that kind of movie kind of style, which is nice on TV. I don't know if it's real, but he's going to tell us about it. You know, because that's just short-lived. But we're looking at a long-lasting relationship here and something that guys need to know. And, hey, I'm a girl, just in case you didn't know. So I'm here to learn just as much as you girls are going to do about the guys. So I'm looking at it from a lot of angles here, not just from a Christian angle, but also from hearing about the guys' perspective and what they need to do. So we're here to learn from the guys, and the guys are here to learn from us. So let's welcome Dan. Hey, Dan Fano. Welcome to Between the Lines, Empowering Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. I heard
here.
You laughing in the back.
Hey, I
heard
a
you
sense
laughing
humor,
when I was giving
I love
your
yours
intro.
Too. Well,
thank you so
you know,
much.
I've never heard that said about my last name, believe it or not.
That you're not far from me now. You know.
Well, yeah,
because you see, we're at a little distance. Yeah, because we're at a distance. Probably you're closer to other people, but you're a little distance from me. So you're not far now. You know, technology is bringing you closer to me. Yeah.
Very true.
So let's get right. Yeah. So let's get right into it. The Quest for Marriage, which tells me quest. And when I looked at the cover of your book, it looks like this. What do you call that now? This guy on this white horse. I mean, he clearly has a mission. You know, it's a journey. Yeah, tell us a bit about your journey,
Yes. Your
personal journey, as much as you can share as possible, and what these guys can learn from you, and why are you bringing the Christian angle? Let's leave our listeners with some great tips that they can implement today.
Okay, well. I guess to give a little background, I actually grew up an atheist. I did not become a Christian until I was in my early 20s. That's
wow.
A whole story.
That's a big way to start the program.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
A big way to start the program, Dan. Wow, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but we could do a whole other show on how I came to know the Lord.
We definitely will, but go ahead.
Okay, well, what happened is once I saw a lot of evidence for God, and besides my life being a mess, I was told if I gave my life to Christ that he would make my life better, and I had nothing to lose, so I gave him a chance, and he drastically changed my life. And since I always did want to study further and further on how there could be a God if there's, for example, suffering in the world, and all these other things that did not make sense. So I'm definitely the intellectual type that likes to study and find the answers. But that's kind of about me. But when it came to the dating world, I did actually take part first in a church that had legalistic practices. They were always giving us standards on what we cannot do with the opposite sex, but they never really explained much of what we should do. And all the books I was reading was from therapists or pastors. They were always talking about the ideals of a relationship and how a marriage would work. And to me, it didn't seem like, or forgive me, I'm not the best speaker. I'm more the introverted type that can write a book, not do public speaking.
That's okay. You're comfortable with me. Go on. We're having a great conversation. You're doing fantastic.
I know. Those outgoing people that have books written, they have what's called ghostwriters. Those people are introverts. But they make
I'm loving your story.
Thank you. But they make the relationship sound so religious. And I wouldn't consider myself, quote-unquote, religious about it. So what I talk about is, okay, I get it, we need to have good physical boundaries, we need to be abstinent until marriage, but what do we do in the process? How do we go about a relationship? You know, how do we know it's the right person? What kinds of things do we need to do in the relationship to prepare for marriage? I didn't see a lot of that written out. And even just simple practical things such as, how do you communicate with the opposite sex? What attitude changes do you need to make? How do you handle finances? How do you shop for a ring? How do you prepare a wedding? I don't see any of that in the book, so I decided that, you know, I'm going to talk about these simple practical goals, because in my opinion, guys are the type that they just are like, okay, what do I need to know? All right, how do I handle this? And what obstacles am I going to face?
But the thing about it, those things that you mentioned a while ago about, you know, how to communicate, you know, finding the ring and all those different, let's call them stages or steps on the way to marriage or to dating or finding your soulmate or your partner in life, people don't think about that. You know, they just go with the flow. I mean, they wing it. What the hell? I mean, everybody else did it, you know. And they survive, I'm just going to go with the flow, because there really isn't a scientific, well, not that I know of, scientific formula or a 1 plus 1 equal 11 kind of thing that would give you the results that you really want, the exact results, because there are so many dynamics, there are so many variables when it comes to, you know, things of the heart, things of the head.
Oh, of course. Which is why one of my goals is to try and increase my reader's perspective, because, of course, everybody's different, so I want to increase perspective so then they can make the choices that they feel best suit them.
Okay.
I even
what are some of the things...
Go ahead.
No, what are some of the things, then, that you shared in your book that guys who are listening now can take away? So let's talk about the communication, which is, I think, one of the most significant things in any relationship, because clearly you have to talk to your partner, whether you sign language or whether you speak with your mouth and words come out, you have to communicate in some form. So because communication, you know, when you go to a therapist or marriage counselor, it always comes down to that communication. Everything else, I guess, you could probably work around, but the communication, Dan, is the thing that really hits the nail on the head. What can you share with our listeners in terms of communicating with your partner?
Okay, well, I wanted to refer to something I learned along the way. Of course, the Bible does teach a lot on being abstinent until marriage. And I think a big mistake many couples make is they first think, are they physically compatible? And then if they're physically compatible, then they just assume everything else is going to work out fine. But that's actually not true. I actually talked about a study I read about where they were comparing a lot of relationships, for example, couples that were physically intimate at the beginning and then other couples who waited. And they compared, for example, just even satisfaction in sex life, communication, satisfaction in relationship. And the couples that waited, their numbers were significantly higher than their counterparts. And one of the biggest reasons was concluded is before the couple got married, they had to learn to communicate with each other. Because if we have any kind of disagreement, we can't resort to sex to make up for it. We actually had to deal with it and talk about it.
You know, I totally agree with you, dear Dan. Why is it? And I mean, I'm coming from the woman's perspective here. I can't do any other way. Why is it that when, you know, you're in a relationship, the men think that once you have sex, that the problem is solved? Why? Why is it in their mind that when you have sex, the problem is solved? I can't get that as a woman. Sex is sex. It's a physical thing. Know the difference. The problem is still there. Why they can't get that?
I don't know if I know the answer because I obviously don't represent all men. I guess the way I can look at it is, well, men do, of course, have a strong desire for sexual fulfillment. So in my personal opinion, once they engage in sex, then they feel like that need is temporarily satisfied. And then they may just link it with, oh, the problem is solved, when that's obviously not true. Mm-hmm. Emotions can be very deceiving.
Yes, yes. Because the woman tends to know the difference. We know that, yeah, okay, so we had a great time in bed, but that doesn't mean the problem is gone. We had a good time, that's it. You must learn to separate the two things. But somehow guys don't get that. And there's a dynamic there when it comes to communication that I think, you know, breaks down stuff. You know, and then you go through that same cycle again. You argue, the problem is still there, but and you think that sex is going to solve it. It's just not, you know, getting the relationship to the next level. But
well, if it worked, we wouldn't have divorce issues.
Exactly. Now, I saw the picture with you and your wife, lovely woman, and of course, you know I'm going to touch on this. She is of a different race. And
yes,
I said
I'm
to
well
myself,
aware of that.
That is interesting. Yes. Yeah, just in case you didn't notice,
okay.
She's black, okay?
Yeah. No,
yeah,
my
just
wife
in case
and I
you didn't,
crack
yeah,
many
just in,
jokes about it.
Yes, but just in case you didn't realize, she's black. Okay.
Well, thank
so
you for the reminder.
So now that
you
have got that out.
Well, actually, wait.
Okay.
She is, oh my gosh, she just said she was dark-skinned from being in the sun too long.
Oh my God, that was her excuse? Oh no, we gotta talk. No, I love to see that. And it says that you are so open-minded to a relationship with somebody of a different complexion or of a different race, you know, different origin. And I find that very appealing, as a matter of fact, of a man, because you're not saying, well, it has to be somebody of your race, you know, your complexion or with blue eyes, or you have specific things. You're opening yourself. Now, there may be persons who are listening and may say, what? You know, he married a black woman. That is just so no-no. You know, what would you say to that coming from a Christian perspective?
Okay, well, there is absolutely nothing in Scripture saying it is a sin to marry somebody of a different race. There is Scripture that talks about do not marry a foreigner, but what it meant is don't marry somebody who doesn't believe in God. For example, is, okay, I should be marrying another believer, not someone who's not a believer. And that was preached to, of course, the Hebrew people and the Jews. So at the time, those who weren't Jews, who were considered Gentiles at the time, they did not believe in God. So they're basically told, don't go marry Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's nothing saying that you can't marry someone of a different race. It's just strong courage. Marry someone who's also a believer, because Jesus cannot be the Lord of your marriage if both of you don't believe in him as Lord.
Exactly. So guys listening to this need to understand, you know, to mature. Let's use that word, Dan, to mature, and don't just take things in a particular context or restrict themselves. Because I talk to a lot of persons who are experts in relationship, love, marriage, you know, and things like that. And sometimes, you know, when you say to yourself, especially when you're younger, you know, as a girl, a young girl, you have the ideal, this guy on the white horse, he must have long hair and he must look like this and be like that and the body and so on. But, you know, as you grow older, that kind of fades away and you realize the man of your dreams clearly is not coming in that package. You know, he's coming in a,
that's
in another package. Yeah, and you have to, and sometimes when you restrict yourself to this particular look and feel and, you know, you're not opening yourself to really seeing the guy because he could be right in front of you and you don't even know it. Is that what happened with you and your wife?
Well, I had an interesting journey. I mean, in the book, I even talked about how I did wing it in a relationship and how it actually did not work out. And I definitely share about all the mistakes I made, too, and even the stupid things I did.
Yeah, I would love to hear about those stupid things. Tell me about those stupid things and what you learn from it, because we want our listeners to really understand.
Because then people will find the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but share a tip or two. Share a tip or two.
Well, first let me talk about what Margaret, that's my wife's name. When it came to people potentially that I would date, I was really looking for someone who would just really value me for who I was. And I want someone who would always just be very straight up and honest. And ultimately, when Margaret came along, you know, she met all those qualifications. And, you know, at first, was I taken aback about marrying a woman who was black? Yes, I was. Allow me to explain. I actually grew up in a society where it was mainly a white and Asian community. There weren't a lot of people in the black community in where I grew up. So I didn't have a lot of, well, interactions. When I came down to San Diego for college, I lived actually right next to a black community, and actually, that's where I came to know God and our group. What was great about my former church, I mean, they had lots of great strengths, is that everybody was different. So I actually had to learn to build relationships, even close brother-sister relationships with black women. And at first, I didn't know what we'd have in common, but I felt the Lord was showing me to find out what I do have in common. And, you know, I found out quite a lot because I'm a very honest individual, and then from my experience, people in the black community are very straight up and honest.
Yes.
And and not as easily offended for just speaking your mind, and that's something I love also.
Yes.
But then when it came to the idea of actually marrying a black woman, then I was sort of thinking, hold the phone here, because I didn't know how I felt about it. First, I'm thinking, is there some racism in me that I don't know about? And then, what would our families think? So I did struggle with that. But I didn't even talk about even introducing my wife to my family. Because I'm not used to speaking about personal stuff with my family. So, I had no idea how they felt about an interracial relationship. So I remember I even write about it when I was going to bring my wife to meet them. I decided to, you know, let them know at the beginning of the relationship so she could build a relationship with them. So I was telling them on the phone that I was bringing a woman over, and since we're not used to talking about relationships, they're very business-oriented people, I said, well, we're negotiating a possible merger. Then they got the message. And then I decided
I decided that I had
to warn them about her being black beforehand so they wouldn't have a heart attack when she walks in. So the way I put it is that she's, well, not white.
That's the only way to say it, Dan. I mean, how else could you say it?
I did not know how else to say it. I'm, believe it or not, a pretty socially awkward person. I'm not a very, well, outspoken individual.
There's no other way to say that somebody's not white. You just say, well, she's not white.
Well, I mean, I thought that's good to say black. I mean, I didn't know if they'd have a heart attack, so I just thought, it's like, okay, ease them into it. Prepare them. So, but, I mean, needless to say, they love Margaret. I mean, my whole family loves Margaret. But I mean, what's
enough? Of course, and I'm sure they love Margaret more than you. I mean, when Margaret comes over, nobody knows you.
Yeah. Well,
you know, they're like,
Dan,
please.
Luckily, she's a very outgoing woman, so she kind of helped carry me through that process.
We need to have Margaret on the show, really. We need to have Margaret on the show.
And
yes,
I must say,
oh my
she
God.
Has the most beautiful smile.
Yes, she does. From the picture, yes, she's very pretty, I must tell you. We need to have Margaret on the show because we can't just have a one-sided discussion here with you. We need to have Margaret to kind of balance things off and to bring the girl's perspective to it. But your book is really something interesting, and you know, most of the time, I mean, I deal with authors and their books, and one of the things that I normally ask is what makes your book different from all the others, you know, that persons will want to read your book. Because there are lots of books on relationships and love and marriage, but what is it about yours that you think will attract attention, that persons will want to get it?
Well, because I do share my own story, I do share about the mistakes I make, and those other books, those pastors and therapists, they don't normally do that. They always talk about the ideals. For example, even The Proposal, it's supposed to be this romantic thing that's supposed to be just amazing, blessed by God and everything, when in reality my wife and I had a meltdown. And the reality is, okay, a guy proposing, you're going to be extremely nervous. It's going to be extremely stressful and nerve-wracking. And then when it's all done, it's a relief. And then, especially if you're like me, when I get stressed, then Margaret got stressed, and she had no idea what was going on. You'll have to read the whole story. But just before she found out to propose, we were just at a meltdown, and I thought our relationship was over.
Yeah. No, but you see, the thing about it, Dan, is that we are so infiltrated by the media. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, the whole TV thing and the movie thing, it's perfect, but these things are choreographed. The guy goes down on his knees, he plans out everything months before, he gets his friends involved, he has the white horse, you know, he has the ring in the rose or in the drink or the waiter bring it up, whatever it is. He has it well planned out as a TV thing, but in reality, it may not. I mean, some people really pull off a nice one, you know, in reality as well. And some people,
it
might be a fumbling thing.
But it's just as unrealistic as action movies.
Exactly, you know. But the thing about it, let's put a positive spin on it, because that's what I like to do. You know, even if it's a fumbling, as you say, a meltdown, she always remember the meltdown. And when you guys have kids and grandkids, hey, that's the meltdown story that's going to go on for generations. You know, that is the one that's going to carry on. That's the one that's going to live through the family. That's one that's going to hit the books, you know, like your book, The Quest for Marriage. Yeah. Nobody
exactly.
Really, I mean, you want to hear the perfect, you hear the perfect stories all the time, but you want to hear the ones that made mistakes and how they, you know, rebound from these things. And those are the ones that people really remember. How did you get over that? How did she forgive you? How did you forgive her? I mean, now that you all are happily married.
I forgive her.
You know? You forgive her. And how long have you all been happily married now?
Let's see. It'll be 6 years in September.
Wow.
So, wow, over 5 years
awesome.
Now. Yeah, but I was going to say
so
another
the meltdown
thing.
Look.
Why I talk about imperfections is the reality is relationship is not perfect. People make mistakes. I mean, you have two humans that are imperfect. Yes, mistakes are going to be made. You're not going to get everything right. You know, it's a learning process. So, you know, I even feel my book gives permission for people to understand, hey, mistakes can happen, but it's still okay. And gives more of a realistic expectation.
Go ahead.
I guess one of the other, a couple other things I talk about is just very practical, non-religious. For example, many men think that once they're married, they're never going to have an issue of lust or ever be tempted to look at women the wrong way. And I'll even read an excerpt here of how non-religious this is. So, here we go. Continuing on the topic of sex, single guys may be thinking once they have a wife, they will never be tempted with lust again. Wrong. Mm-hmm. I have yet to find a married man who doesn't need to guard himself lust-wise. Allow me to fill you in on what married men have come to understand. With a wife, you're going to see her at her worst. For starters, you will see her all the time without makeup. She probably won't hesitate to pass gas around you. You're going to know whenever she has bodily function issues, including diarrhea and her monthly period, not to mention her mood swings. When she's pregnant, you will be dealing with all of her physical changes and mood swings. Her physical figure will probably change after having a child or two. As she gets older, multiple areas of her body will start to sag. Then those gray hairs are going to start showing up.
Are you talking about me, Dan? Is that me you're talking about in the book? I swear.
Oh, certainly not.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess another advantage of having a wife who's black is she's going to age very gracefully.
That's the beauty about us, Dan. You picked it so right.
Yeah, but
that's
you will
right.
get out of the
that's
gray
right.
hairs. But, except the husbands will get part of the gray hairs because women, of course, want to get their hair dyed, but we're going to have to pay monthly for it.
Yeah.
And then, and then I even do share a chapter, since guys think about sex, I share a chapter about sex in reality, how it really is in a marriage. Because, I mean, unfortunately, most men think that it's just like the way it is in pornography, and that is extremely inaccurate.
Yeah. Actually, the media does these things. Yeah, the media does these things to us, you know. And I don't want to spill too many beans on your book. I want people to get it, and I want people
to
read it and appreciate it and laugh about it. And the good thing about life is that you need to laugh at yourself, Dan. You need to laugh at life, because... Of course, because it's a joy. It's something that you must be happy about. Laugh at yourself. That's the first thing I always tell people. You must be able to laugh at yourself in order to be able to look at other situations and be able to say, hey, just laugh at it. What the hell? You'll get over it in the next few seconds, the next few minutes. That's just what
that's
it is.
Funny.
You know, you can't be serious.
Even at my Bible study, I know somebody felt like she spoke out of turn and she was saying she was so sorry, and I just say, hey, it's okay. You know who else has made a mistake in this world? Everybody. You're in good company.
Yeah. You're in good company. That's right.
Yeah, none of us have it all together.
Exactly. And that's the beauty about it. We're here to learn from each other. But how can persons get a copy of your book? It's available on Amazon, is it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And then I know for those in the U.S., they can get it at Barnes & Noble. I believe you need to special order it from them. I'm still learning more about marketing. That's not my forte, so I have to learn. But most people have been getting it online. I know at ChristianBooks.com it can be available there, too. But I assume most of your audience is Jamaican.
Yeah. Well, my audience is all over the world, actually. People calling from all over the world.
Great.
I'm getting the wrap-up call, my 90-second wrap-up call. So here we go, because I don't want us to get cut off. So I want to thank you so much, Dan, for being here and for sharing all the tips, I mean, all the little personal tidbits. And we need to have Margaret back invite Margaret on the show with you, or even without you, not a problem. But the Quest for Marriage is available for people. Try and get a copy of it. It has a Christian angle to it. And please follow Dan on his Facebook. I'm going to be sharing all those links so that it's easy for you to just click and follow and get a copy. Thank you so much, Dan, for being here, and all the best.
My book
Margaret,
has a Facebook page also, and I will.
Wonderful. I think I have that. Yes, I'm going to share that link for you. Thank you so much for being here and sharing all the great tips about the Quest for Marriage.
Great. Thank you, Kareem.